if you and I will make it our business of reaching the lost, God will make it his business to do what he needs to do in our lives. People need the Lord. People need Jesus. Not more money. Not houses, not cars. People need Jesus. People are dying and going into eternity without Christ. And we are running up and seeing nothing is happening. People need the Lord. Make it your aim, above everything else, that the people God bring you into contact with, you are the only answer, the only Jesus. Hallelujah. And one day, in heaven, they will be forever grateful for you that you told them about Jesus, that you brought them the good news. It is the best news that anybody can have. It's like somebody who is in a house burning down with fire, and you are the only one who can call the ambulance. If you don't call the ambulance, the person will perish. But if you do and they are saved, you can imagine that they will forever be grateful to you that you call the ambulance. Amen. Father, help us. Let me just say something before I carry on. Do you know that one of the reasons why at times we don't respond to God's word, or we hear but we are not being changed? I'll give you three or so reasons, or four. Jesus gave a parable, the parable of the sower. How many of you have heard it before? That parable, Jesus said, if you don't understand that parable, you will never understand anything in the Bible. And then he said the sower went to sow seed, which is the word of God. And then he said some fell on the wayward side. Do you know that you can come to church for 10, 15 years and anything you hear is a wayside? The Bible says because Satan comes. You see, the birds of the air, immediately the word, fall, the seed falls on the wayside, birds will come and what? Pick it up. So that seed does not bear fruit. There was nothing wrong with the seed, but there was something wrong with where the seed fell and the birds of the air that came. And the birds of the air represents what? Satan. You can come to church and not hear a word. Do you know that? I've heard people come to church and let's say we finish the service and say, oh, are you coming to the ball, the church anniversary? But they ask you, what ball? What are you talking about? But it was just announced. But they did not hear. Do you know it's the same thing that happens to people spiritually? They can hear, but they are not what? Hearing. That's why if you see anybody sleeping in church, just give them a nudge to wake up. I tell you why we can hear God's word over and over again and it doesn't enter our hearts. Four reasons. Number one is because of prejudice. Who understands what prejudice means? You've already had preconceived what? Thoughts about what the word of the Lord is. So, and I always say this in church, what the voice in your head is stronger than my voice or than even God's voice to you. And that's what we call preconceived word. Thoughts. So when you are hearing God's word, you are filtering it through your preconceived culture or ideas. And if it's not correct, that straight away, that word will mean what? That's how Satan steals. So Satan can give us preconceived ideas about God's word. Number two, similar to that is what? Prejudice. Hello? Prejudice in different forms and shapes. The third one is pride. Pride is a major hindrance to God's word not working in our lives. Before even you heard, you have rejected the word. This one doesn't what? Apply to me, or the pastor, what he's saying, he doesn't what? Understand my situation. And the fourth one is demonic. If I have been a pastor for some number of years, and I can tell you that demons work a lot on people in church, you have no idea. Somebody can sit in church for 10 years and not hear a single thing. And it was, I was listening to an acquaintance pastor of mine, and it was confirmed. He said one day he was preaching in a church, a conference. As he was, the preaching was, all of a sudden a woman screamed. So the woman screamed very loud. So he asked, they brought her to the front. And the woman was awake, like you are looking at me, but she screamed. So when they brought her, she said, well, you know what she said? She said, where am I? I've been asleep for 20 years. Spiritually. She's been going to jail for 20 years, and all the 20 years, she has been what? Sleeping. All the words she was hearing. That's why when you are coming to jail, you should pray that any demon that wants to harass you and cause you not to hear, you should bind that demon. You know, there are people who bring evil spirit to cause people not to hear God's word. And that is one way that hinders people. For instance, if one of the things at times I find preachers do, I don't know, is their pride or whatever. When they make an altar call, they are begging people to come to the front. Am I the one suffering? You are the one who is sick. And you got the GP or a doctor there to help. And you, the doctor is the one what? Begging you to come. I don't understand that. I don't believe in that. At all. At times, why they, you yourself should run to the altar and lie here. And then you'll be without anybody touching you at all. I have pastors begging people, come here and be touched. Is there something wrong? Think about the logic. I'm the one. So did you see Jesus begging anybody to? The people rather were rushing him. Because the Bible said the power of God was present to heal, just like he's right here, right now. But there are demons that blocks people's ears. I think I've told you two stories before. One man, he was in deep trouble. He needed a breakthrough. And the breakthrough came at a particular time. The pastor said something. That was his breakthrough. But he was hearing, but he wasn't hearing. He was watching. But do you know what happened? So the man of God's eyes was open. You know what he saw? There was a monkey sitting on the person's shoulders, and the monkey had his 2 pounds what? Covering the person's ears. A lot of activity. You know, life is tough. How many of you know that? Life can be very rough. From conception to death, life is war. Anybody who tells you otherwise is lying to you. That's why Paul said, I don't run my race as if I'm beating the air. I run with a certainty. I don't run aimlessly. I put in all my energies. I'm focused. Life is like a boxing match. It can be very tough. So we have to be spiritually, be what? Alert. And at times you say, but people don't, like our own dear brother who is passed on. People are just dying left, right, and center. Have you seen that? All over the place. I was talking to Pastor Les yesterday. He was telling me how uncle died, this person died, and all kind of things. What matters most is what you do with Jesus and how you serve Christ. Because as for death, it's inevitable. So, when you come to church, at times your salvation and deliverance is in the preaching. But if you don't listen very well, and you give demons a chance, they will steal your deliverance from you by taking away God's word from you. So always, even when you are reading the Bible, or even when you are listening to a message, how many of you immediately you take the Bible to read, you sleep? And if you take the Sun newspaper, you don't sleep. You watch other things, you don't sleep. Even when you are watching a Christian program, you begin to doze. You don't like it. I've seen people watching things, they are very happy. Immediately you put Christian thing, they get up and go. Some of my dogs, they will do that. They watch and say, let's watch some Christian thing. Immediately you put that thing on after 5 minutes, as if something is agitating them, they just get up. But if it was breaking as talent, they watch it, they want to watch the next one. You think these things are just natural, eh? Your passion and desire and your hunger must be for spiritual things more than anything else in the world. For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? People need the Lord. We need the Lord, but the people, at least we are saved. We know when we die, we are going to heaven. But what about those loved ones of ours? They will definitely go to hell. Hell is very real. We can't take it for granted. We should be praying for your loved ones every day. Seriously, fasting for them instead of fasting for a car or a house. Hallelujah. People need the Lord. And we are the only hands Jesus, the feet, the only Jesus they will see is us. They won't see another Jesus. We can't disappoint our Lord. So I pray that you and I will wake up to that reality. Hallelujah. You should pray for me. One day I'm praying, I will stand in my gym and something will happen. I'll lead everybody to Christ. You should have such holy ambitions. But those are where I meet more people than anywhere. If you'll be in the steam room, something will happen. And the Holy Ghost will move. Yes. I don't know about you, but that should dominate your thoughts. And all the other things, God will add them to me. No problem. God will take care of my wife and children when I take care of God's business. For he says, seek ye first the kingdom. And the number one kingdom thing, the reason why Jesus hasn't come, is that the gospel has not been preached to the nations, to every tribe, tongue, and people. And some of you will be missionaries. Some of you will be pastors. Some of our children will be some of the greatest evangelists, prophetess, and prophets. Yes. But it begins with us, the parents. How we demonstrate the value of spiritual realities. Hallelujah. People need the Lord. Anytime you see the mass, when you are driving through bricks and say, people need, all these people, they need what? The Lord. Hallelujah. When you go to the Sainsbury's or Asda or wherever you go, and you see the people there, it should come into your mind, people need the Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me just tell you something about when the Bible says a person is ungodly. Do you understand what that means? You know, at times, the Bible says that all the ungodly person, okay. Do you know that you can be a Christian and very ungodly? Okay, I will explain it to you. One of the main aspects of ungodliness is that you don't have God in your thoughts. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It means this: in your doing life, God is not what? The ungodly do not have God what? In their thoughts, in controlling and them making decisions. Like you say, all the so-called parliament, they say they are Christians and whatever. Theresa May is a pastor's daughter. But she's ungodly. Because she passes law to destroy our children. God is not in their thoughts when they are making decisions and choice. That's an ungodly person. God is not in your thoughts. The way you are treating your husband or your wife, that's an ungodly. The more you have God in your thoughts, the more you act a certain way. So ungodliness is that you should have God in you. You should have God in your what? Somebody cross you, you want to insult them. If God, you are godly, you will hold yourself. Not that you don't have the feeling to do the wrong thing, but godliness, God in your thoughts, dominates when you calm down. I pray you'll be a godly person. I pray you have God in your thoughts, strong. I pray you're a godly man, a godly woman. God must be in your thoughts. The way after church you treat people must be godly. If you have God in your thoughts, you will not after look at somebody and dislike them. What they said or did something you didn't like. Godliness will let you just release, forgive, and love the person. Yeah. You are godliness, you are like God. God is all about God. Hallelujah. We must yearn for God. Amen. I will teach and then we will minister as I want one or two things. I said I'm going to just ask somebody. Let's see whether the devil have stolen it or you've got it. What is the scripture that this year we said we are holding on to? Don't say it. I'm going to call somebody. We come to church to be blessed. You are coming to stress us. I want to test what I've said, whether it is true or not. Whether it's in your thoughts. Oh, it's fine. Everybody's tense now. Let me put you out of your misery. So somebody raise your hands and tell her. That person will put you out of your misery. No, if you know, you know. So don't... No. Good try, but that is not. Yes, who want to read? Yes, Sister Janet. Are you looking at a thing or? Okay, go on then. Okay, quote it now. Now, yeah, you said it. Now, quote it now. We want to. Okay, good paraphrase. The Lord made him to what? Give a hand. Hallelujah. You see, everybody should memorize that scripture. Joshua, next week I will ask you. As long as simply he sought the Lord made him to what? Prosper. Catherine, next week I'll call you, so make sure you got that scripture. On the basis of that scripture, I told you I was going to continue about suffering, but the Lord said no, so I'm not teaching on that one. I'm going to continue the message I started about 3 weeks on prayer, because it ties in with our... As long as he sought the Lord made him to. I like it. Look, who made him to prosper? I don't know. It's when you read the Bible. Look. Emmanuel, God can make you prosper. I like the word make you. You do not, God makes you to prosper. But there's a condition. The condition that you seek. Let's say I was watching a movie. One of these Nigerian or Ghanaian, I don't know which one, but one of them. And there was this wealthy woman, very wealthy woman, extremely wealthy. And I think she had a daughter who, I think, got paralyzed or something. So she couldn't give birth again and so forth. So there was a gentleman in her company that, to cut a long story short, the gentleman was very poor. He told the gentleman, I can change your destiny in 2 weeks. He called the gentleman for a particular meeting. And he said, I can change your destiny. He said, do you like the state you are in? The man said, no. The man lives in a shack. So I can change your destiny and you become the richest person. I will leave all my inheritance, everything to you. I give everything to you under one condition. Marry my daughter. But because my daughter cannot have children, because the daughter, because of the accident, could not have children, their condition is this. You'll be neutered. I'm going to say, what is neutered? You have to go for an operation, and they sterilize you. Because I don't want to leave everything for them. You go and have children outside and give the thing to them. you'll be neutered, that you can marry my daughter and everything I give to you. I'm talking about a wealthy Babylonian. All of it is yours. Choose your pick. I'm talking about this woman is saying, I will make you. I will make you what? Wealthy, rich. But there's what? God said, I will make you whatever you do to prosper. That is what? There's what? A condition. You need to be neutered. And then the man was not sleeping, going around thinking with his friend what to do. And his friend said, why are you thinking about this? And he asked, Dada, don't you worry. And the friend told him, he said, look at the shack you are living in. Life is not, life also includes money, eh? And enjoyment. I didn't finish watching the movie. I had to go to bed and pray, so I don't know what happened. But the point I'm making is this. God can make you great. But there's always what? A condition. I was discussing with Kwabena yesterday. Why don't we see the power of God? We're discussing with Amandi El Modi. The way we have to see. Why is the church, not just life, the body of Christ, very powerless in so many places? Christians are powerless. It's because of what? Not that God hand is short, not that God cannot do it. God wants to do more than you and I even want to do. But there must be what? Fulfillment of certain what? Conditions. Because if God were to give us certain graces and powers and anointings without us being ready, you know it will destroy us. It will. If we take Jesus was totally sold out, we're saying, to the will of God. So God could give him power unlimited, because everything Jesus was concerned about was the will of who? The Father. If we take all the great women and men in life in the Bible, the Daniels, the Moses, all of them, they were interested in one thing, the will of God. So God gave them power. The question is this, do you and I qualify? Because there was one thing about them. They were totally what? Sold out. When God said, get up, up. Sleep. Some of us even one instruction from the pastor, you can't even hold it. How much more God? Because God's instructions are even more wilder than the pastor's. And that's the problem we have. That's the problem I have. That's why we don't see so much power of God in the body of Christ today. Because people, everything has become about individuals, what pride and all kind of things is going on. And I'm praying that one of our young people in this church will become an instrument totally sold out to God. Amen. I'm praying for that. That somebody, it can be you. God is no respecter of persons. If you want to be that person, may the Lord help you. So let's talk about some hindrances to prayer. We spoke about the importance of prayer, so I'll just go through some of them. If I don't finish, we'll carry on next week. D.L. Moody once said this, God has given direct access to his throne. And he said, next to the wonder of being saved and seeing my Savior in future face to face, I think the wonder that I made so little use of, that was during his getting to his death. The wonder that I made so little use of was the power of prayer. If there's one thing Satan fights more than anything, is prayer. But we pray, but at times it seems as if the line gets jammed. The line gets what? Jammed. True or not true? So you are praying, the prayers are not going. Have you been there before? As if you are hitting your head against it. Now it appears that your prayer cannot even go past the ceiling. You know, it's difficult. We've all been there before. So God, is God hearing my prayers at all? How many of you been there before? That time we feel discouraged and so on and so forth. The question is that we need to examine our lives and see whether something is killing our prayers or not. Because to have an effective prayer life, all hindrances must be what? Removed. Is that not so? So, let's talk about whatever is negative, if you turn it around, it becomes what? Positive. So, in a way, we're talking about the negative, the hindrance, but at the same time, the opposite is also what? So, you understand? Okay. So, number one, let me talk about a few of them today. Ignoring God's word. Having a wrong relationship with God. All of this is part of number one. Ignoring God's word or having a wrong relationship with God. Being indifferent to the word of God can hinder your prayers big time. In fact, the more you read the Bible, the more your prayers become sharper and better. So let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at just one. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9. If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So we see the first cause of hindrance to prayer. If someone who professes to be a believer refuses to heed God's word, God's guidance, in fact, their prayers become detestable to God. Like I always say, I did not write the Bible. Joshua, did I write the Bible? So the scriptures itself speaks to us. If I turn my, let's say God come and say something, which we shall look at some. By the way, all the hindrances to prayer, you can just use one word, sin. Because there are all kinds of what? Sins. And the first thing is that if I don't see God's word as a final authority in my life. Nowadays, you hear people saying all kinds of funny things about the Bible. To the extent that you just have to chop the Bible into two and throw away the Old Testament. They make it seem as if the Old Testament is not God's word anymore. It's true, we don't live under the law. But the Old Testament is very what? Pertinent. Jesus said, anybody who even takes what? A dot from the Bible, I will take away from his life. For as long as the heavens what remains, none of my words will pass away. Hello? Of course, you need to interpret it well. By the way, at times people are saying it. Then we should throw away all the, as if the Ten Commandments and all of that is useless. I don't know where they are getting those things from. See, everything is grace. And they refuse to talk about the person who preached most grace in the Bible. No. Who preached most grace in the Bible? Paul. So if we believe Paul, you see, you have to be very logical. If we believe that Paul, the apostle of grace, and what he said about grace is true, then everything he said is also what? True. He said, the grace of God has appeared to us that denying ungodliness, we should walk upright with God. So what are you talking about? He said, don't frustrate the grace of God. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So that will just, let me just end that one over there. If I turn my ear from not hearing God's word, if I don't see God's word as a final authority on all matters in my life, and I use my own experience or whatever I think or feel, your prayers can become what? Detestable to God. If I tell my daughter something that I feel is important, she will not listen. She does what she wants. And she comes to come and make requests. You don't even want to see her. How many of you have been there before? Because I'm more interested in she listening to me. Is that not so, Catherine? She's a very good girl, this one. All of them, very good girls. They listen to daddy. I've got wonderful girls. Very, very godly. May the Lord preserve you and keep you. And keep you from evil. They listen. Even though some of them say, they will listen. And because you listen, when you come and communicate with daddy, what? It's easy. There's a flow. Are you hearing me? Jesus said this, John 15:7, and I read from the translation, says this. If you maintain, I like this one. If you maintain a living communion with me, and my words are at home in you. I command you to ask, listen to this, at once, something for yourself, whatever your heart desires, and it will become yours. But the condition is that if you maintain a living communion with me, and my words find their home in you. I like that. You command, and at once, for something for yourself, and whatever your heart desires, it will become yours. Wow, what a promise. The word is paramount to maintaining a living communion with God, the Bible. You cannot be indifferent to the Bible, to the scriptures. It is the only key to help. How can you know God without the Bible? It's not possible. How can you know what he likes, what he doesn't like? You can't. You can't use your own experiences. It's not possible. It will help you to maintain an effective prayer life. And it will help you to what? Walk right. Psalm 37 verse 4. A very popular scripture. Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm not hearing an amen there. If you see anybody sleeping, just wake them up. Hello? Delight yourself in the Lord. Flow with God, and he will give you what? The desires. What a problem. You can live your whole life just on this promise. Get excited about God. Feel good about God. You know, people say, oh, we can't be excited in church. But when Liverpool score or Spurs score, how many of you are supporters of Spurs here in this room? What about Liverpool? Spurs, so nobody likes Spurs. Liverpool. So, wow. Manchester United. Go to Manchester United. If your team scores, don't you get excited? Hello? You just jump up and down. Your taste buds become nice and you are happy. But if they beat your team in a very crucial match, you lose all your appetite. When was the last time you lost your appetite for Jesus? Look, there's something. When I think like that, it means that there's something wrong. Why should I lose an appetite for a football team, but then I don't lose an appetite for God? There's something wrong with me. I'm serious. That's how for me I look at it. It means that that football thing is an idol. Because when it speaks, they say when one Ghanaian died when Liverpool won. He was so excited, the joy killed him. Is that not so? I read it somewhere. Some people get so excited. They even fight and kill each other over. Yes. But when was the last time we were so excited in church? We were wild, crazy for Jesus. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires. What do you call it? A blank check. Do you know why God gives this promise? Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, all your desires will be correct. You will not have funny desires. Hello, you know that. Because you and God will begin to, you think alike. Number two, hindrances to sin is unconfessed sin or loving sin. Psalm 66, verse 18. So one of the ways that when before you pray, just go through this list, check yourself if your prayers doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And find yourself whether you are located in some of these sins. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I read from another version. If I cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not have listened. Sin is a barrier to fellowship with God and a major hindrance in our prayer life. Sin, unconfessing. The word to regard means that you esteem, you hold dear, you hold to that sin. You refuse to change. Something that you cling to, you will not let go. Hello? You know how time people cling to things they will never let go? I'm talking about Christians. They can hold on to a sin. I'm not talking about when you fall into a sin. We all do that. I'm referring to you cherish the sin. You hold on to it. You have justified the sin. Your prayers becomes what? An abomination. God will not hear. So you need to check whether you are holding on to any sin. Some of it maybe will go through it. Are we here? Do you have any cherished sin in your life? Hello? You like, maybe God have told you, put away that Jack Daniels. No, what's Jack Daniels? Whiskey. So what did you hear then? Jack Daniels. That you keep on coughing under your bed. And God have told you, let it go. You say you won't let go. It is not a sin. Even Paul said to Timothy, have a little wine for your stomach's sake. Is your stomach having problems? There are all kinds of sins. The hidden ones are the most dangerous. Pride. Arrogance. Stubbornness. Rebellion. Witchcraft. You don't see them. Lying tongue. And God have told you over and let that thing go. It is what you hold on to it. Because the Lord will not hear. Please, you have to understand what sin is to God. That even will help you to appreciate grace very, very well. Jesus, Isaiah said, behold, the hand of the Lord is not short that it cannot save. Neither is the ear of God heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins, your iniquities have separated you from God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Please, I'm not referring to what? You fall into a sin here and there. Are you understanding me? If you do that, you just repent, you move on. But I'm talking about you were holding on to the sin. You are saying to that sin, this sin is, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do it. Hello? Maybe you haven't seen some. This church is not live, so you don't see it. But even this small church, there are some here where people will hold on to somebody's wife and say, I'm marrying, I don't care what anybody says, I'm doing that. Hello? It's gone very quiet here now. So, don't cling to sin of any kind. Immediately, God tells you, repent. Other than that, all the prayers will be nothing. Do you know that? All the tongues, everything, God says, I don't hear it. And you think that God have answered the prayer. It's not God who have answered that prayer. It's the devil. You know, the devil can answer prayers as well. And let you stay there thinking that it is God. Then when you die, you see that it's not God. When hell opens for you. Because God cannot, listen to me, saints, God cannot violate himself by violating his word. If one of God's word fails, it means that we cannot trust who? God. He's not a faithful, we can't trust him. If God fails in his word, it means that we don't know, we are playing kind of Russian roulette. But God is certain, he is faithful, he is sure. He says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, and at times we lie to ourselves. Maybe I know I don't like Kwabena. Anytime I think of him, I get upset and all of that. Somebody asks you, don't you like Kwabena? Oh, I like Kwabena. But you know you don't. You know there's something inside of you. Again, how many of you know what I'm talking about? But we try and pretend. We try and put up what? A facade. As if it is not so. Who do you think we are lying to? Ask your neighbor, who are you lying to? The worst one is self-deception. Eh? So don't regard iniquity. Unconfessed sin is probably the most common prayer killer. Unconfessed sin. God is a perfect God. I don't have time to go into all the details. Let me give you James. God will give us James 5:16, and it tells you that if even we confess our sins, God even heals us. Confess your sins one to another, or your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another, and you'll be what? Healed. So even we notice that confession of sins even brings what? Healings. It brings what? Deliverance. It brings what? Miracles to one another. There are certain things you need to confess to others. You can't keep it to yourself. There are certain things between you and God. There are certain sins you need to confess to somebody, because it's weighing you down. It is killing you. Amen? Immediately you confess it, and then you are prayed for or prayed with, you find out that that burden is what? Lifted. You are free. I've experienced it so many times in counseling and helping people. Just confession alone of sin brings such a relief and a release to people. And the more you hide the sin, the more the sin what? Keeps on what? Eating you up. In talking about that, I want to talk about one particular sin, unforgiveness. And I think we'll end up on this and we'll pray. Unforgiveness. Why is forgiveness so important? Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Unforgiveness. How many of you has nobody hurt before? Nobody has done any harm to you before? Then you don't live on planet Earth. Hello? As long as you live here, people will hurt you. People will do bad things against you. You can't, it's not possible to avoid it. Okay, so look at what Jesus said. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, or they trespass against you, your heavenly Father, I like that, your what? Heavenly Father will also what? Forgive you. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiving and being forgiven are two inseparable twins. They go together. In fact, James, I think Mark 11:24, it says, when you stand praying, forgive. Forgiveness is a big thing. Big, 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 major thing. A person cannot enter into true prayer with bitterness and come out with blessings. Hello? It's not possible. If we harbor resentment and forgiveness toward anyone or anything, including situations, even God, it will greatly hinder our prayers. People upset us all the time. True or not true? We can't look. Even this week, I mean, somebody will upset you. So you should already arm yourself to forgive. Hello? Because I don't want my prayers hindered. Because if God does not forgive you, how can he hear your prayers? And when you forgive, it must be total forgiveness. Not forgiveness with strings attached to it. When you come and say sorry, special husbands and wife, are you here? I'm not looking. Because at times the forgiveness is what? String attached. I'll forgive her or him if she comes and what? Say sorry first. Then me too, I say, aha, me too, I am sorry. Hello? Even in church, Christians among themselves, when he comes and says sorry, then how to will say what? Oh, don't worry, it's okay, I've also forgiven you. Do you forgive? I keep on saying saints. Kujo, did I write the Bible? Me, I believe the Bible like a child. I don't like complicating things. The Bible says if I don't forgive, me too, I'll not be forgiven. I don't want to interpret it in simple English. I don't need any theologian to come and confuse me and lie to me. It's enough. This is class one English. Money here, house here. Bring money, take the house. Simple. That's what one man said. He said, look, that's economics. The man was going to buy a house. He said, don't complicate the thing. It's on the table. He said, money here, $1 million, house papers here. Simple. Put the money, take the papers. That's all. No complication and atomization of this and future hedging and all this confusion that goes on in business. I don't know whether I'm helping anybody here. Before I lift my voice and say, Father, bless me, I should remember whether I've forgiven all everybody who have sinned against me. How many of you know that forgiveness is for your own good, not for the person? It's for your own. I don't have. I'm talking about this and I'll be ending soon. It just blocks everything. You may have been legitimately wronged, but we must forgive just as God has what? Forgiven us. Let me read a few scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Maybe let's read it from the NLT. Let's see how modern it is. Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. I like that. It includes everything. What did he say? Get rid of them. Verse 32. Instead, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. You know, women are more tender-hearted than men. You know what tender-hearted means? Very what? Have you met somebody who is very tender-hearted? You, the woman, should be more tender-hearted than the men. If a woman is saying you are not tender-hearted, you need serious deliverance. Tender-hearted. You are very tender. Like at time when I'm trying to discipline the children, then Vivian will be tender-hearted. I say, what's wrong with you? Said, don't you understand what's wrong? I said, you're too tender-hearted. You won't help the children. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When I think of how God has forgiven me, it's easy to forgive others who have wronged me. By the way, when you forgive, it doesn't mean that the pain goes. Please, if somebody slashed you with a knife here, if you forgive, the slash will not disappear. The scar will still be there. I like that. Instead, be what? Kind. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, be kind to me. Be tender-hearted to me. Can you imagine if a church, we walk in this, the power of God will just flow so easily. We should teach our children this, because our children, they like what? Bickering. We have to teach them to be what? Forgiving one another. This is grace. Instead, at times I get so stuck on God's word, I don't know about you. Be kind to each other. Be tender-hearted. Shall we stand?